A while ago, I signed up on my phone to the word of the day, and I try to keep up on it. One word a while ago was the word hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is a nickname. It's a pet name, and it's often a diminutive, enduring name. So I have a Dalmatian named Romeo. So if I call him Romy or Romes, that's the example of an hypocrisy. They're usually endearing. A couple of the apostles of our Lord have names that are not so enduring. They're not endearing for better or for worse. For example, Judas is called the betrayer. That's for good reason, I suppose. He sold Jesus. And Thomas is called the doubter. And this may be a bit unfair. Now, I don't have to defend St. Thomas the Apostle. He's in a far better place than all of us, a place we're trying to get to. But I will defend him, not for those named Thomas, but for all of us, because Thomas represents all of us. First of all, let's remember that Thomas had faith. He had faith in Jesus. He followed him. And he left everything behind to follow our Lord, as was required by all the apostles. To have faith does not mean that it has to be perfect faith. Nothing is perfect but heaven. And let's not forget that Thomas sacrificed everything. He was murdered, spreading the gospel in India, probably in the year 72 AD. And so he sacrificed, and it's only possible to have faith to do that. That's number one. Number two, Thomas may not have been convinced of the resurrection. But really, who was? The Gospels do not narrate the resurrection. And let's remember that that first Easter Sunday was a very confusing day. We celebrate it with joy. But on that day, there was a lot of fear as well. All they had was an empty tomb. And they had the burial wrappings. I spoke on that last week. The only reason anyone believed in the resurrection is because they saw our risen Lord. And besides, John focuses all the doubts of his disciples of Jesus on Thomas. That's chapter 20. But then in chapter 21, the appendix to the gospel, John indicates that others too had doubts. We read, "No one dared ask him, 'Who you are?' For they now knew it was the Lord." Thomas was not the only one, but he was representative of all the doubts we have. He seemed to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. But actually, Thomas wanted to share in this excitement. And I like to think of Thomas as being really excited to see the risen Lord. And we need that to carry us through each day. Finally, we don't know if Thomas actually touched Jesus. The Bible doesn't tell us that. I like to think Thomas did, because I like the great paintings that depict this, especially the painting by Caravaggio, called the incredulity of St. Thomas. We'll try and post that today for you. It's Thomas putting his finger into our Lord's side. We don't know if Thomas touched Jesus, but we do know that Thomas, upon seeing our Lord in his wounds, Thomas gave the highest expression of who Jesus was in the Gospel of John. It was Thomas who said, "My Lord and my God." It actually reads, "The Lord of me and the God of me. The God of me who created me. The Lord of me who redeemed me." I remember my grandmother and so many Germans saying that in German at the elevation of each species at Mass, whispering, "My Lord and my God." It's the greatest expression of faith coming from the doubter. Today is Divine Mercy Sunday. Today would have been the day our church beautifully decorated. The church would be full with visitors, proud parents, grandparents, aunts and uncles. I've traveled for them myself. The first Holy Communion Mass. The children would be all dressed. And today I would say in their homily that they now have a place at this altar. And if you're not at this altar, if you're not at Mass, you will be missed. But your place will be kept. Just like I have my place at our dining room table at our home. If I'm not there, I'm missed, but my place is kept. So you're not here today, but one day again you will be. But let's remember on this Divine Mercy Sunday that our Lord's interaction with Thomas reveals the truth of our Lord's mercy. Our Lord did not embarrass Thomas. Our Lord did not scold Thomas. Our Lord invited Thomas. "Put your life into my wounds. See that it is I." This divine mercy continually invites us, and it's made possible by the God of the resurrection, our Lord Jesus Christ. In a while, we're going to have the Mass. I'm assisted by our seminarian, Mr. Nick Vetter. He's back from Rome. He's been with us throughout the Triduum, and he continues to be with us. I will offer this Mass. He will assist. I want all of us to think about this as we prepare for the Mass today. St. Thomas is all of us. We all have trouble believing in something or someone we cannot see, or in something or someone we cannot touch. But every time we come to the Eucharist, every time we stand in that communion line, we are deepening our belief. And in watching this live stream Mass, and in not making a sacramental communion today, but a spiritual communion, I want you to know that something very powerful is happening to you in a different way, and maybe in a more profound way, because of your desire to be here, and because of the desire you have to be with our Lord. Today, you are not opening your hands to receive our Lord sacramentally, but spiritually, you are opening your mind and your heart to receive our Lord spiritually. That's the example of St. Thomas the Apostle. And that, above all, is the definition of prayer, the raising of one's heart and mind to God. St. Thomas the Apostle, pray. the doubter, pray for us. Amen.